that is needed and is necessary. One of the things we may not realize is that this particular Mary, throughout all of the accounts of her in the Gospels, if you kind of look at them all together, which I did this week, and you put them side by side, this Mary is always at one particular place. She always seems to be coming to one particular place. Do you know where it is? It is the feet of Jesus. She always seems to find herself at the holy feet of God. The same feet that were to bear her sins all the way down to the cross. It's as if she sensed this within herself. A sense, I fear, that today we deaden, right? Or we just drown out completely with all of the things that we give our sensory perceptions to and dull and darken the mind. Because there's tons of them out there. You know it. I know it. You don't have to get into what they are. Tons of them. One thing, right? You know my pet peeve. The thing we stare at all the time, right? That thing, right? Look at your usage on that thing at the end of the day, right? Maybe go Monday. Today you've got half the day away, right? You've come to worship, right? You shouldn't have your phones out anyway. Shouldn't, right? Start Monday. Look at how many hours you spend on that phone. Complete time waster. Complete, right? And I'm guilty of it too. I'm not throwing stones at people without, you know, needing them thrown back at me. So I'll be ducking when you throw them back. This Mary, whose life here is open before us today, is traditionally taken to be the same Mary of whom the seven unclean spirits were cast out. The same woman who stood and did not flee as she watched the Romans pierce those holy feet straight to the cross, who was given to be a witness of the resurrection and a messenger to the apostles. This is the same Mary who in deep, deep penitence bathes the Lord's feet with her tears and scrubs them with her hair, and who today in the gospel is found once again at those same beautiful feet. Unlike her sister Martha, busy with many things, busy with the things of the house and getting dinner ready, Mary rests at the feet of Christ. These feet that were to be pierced with iron nails, fastening him to that cross to hold him there, until that ancient serpent and dragon's skull is crushed. Saint Martha was distracted, and for her part, she was wrong. But Saint Mary does what? She comes to the sin bearer's feet, and she listens to him. And when those innocent feet of which she sat were pierced, innocent blood hits the ground as a sin offering for transgressions that were not his own. That blood runs down into Golgotha's dry skull and mingles with that dry dust from which Adam was called and to which for his sin he returns. And that blood, that same and precious holy blood, gives life once again to the fallen race of Adam. That blood that ran down his body and dripped from those same holy feet breathes life into humanity again, puts flesh on the skeletons of those skeletons in the valley of dry bones, and it undoes Ash Wednesday as light. Having received so incredible a gift and knowing it, it wouldn't surprise me if Mary's tears fell often upon those holy feet.
overcome and overwhelmed with joy. As I mentioned, she wipes the paste of tears and dust away from our Lord's feet with her own hair, that they are clean and fresh and ready to carry her sins and ours all the way down into Jerusalem, into the holy city, and to the cross. She adds perfumed oil and anoints them as the feet that will carry her sins to hell and there leave them. And every kiss, every tear, every hair that brushes across those feet were counted and were known by God. And every tear and hair and every bone and all her heart sang silent hallelujahs. Praise to the God who has claimed this greatly loved sinner as his own. The God who is not ashamed of her, as so many other people were, but who loves her and forgives her and welcomes her at his feet. And it was there at his feet, her favorite place to be, that her sins were forgiven. And she wept for the joy that she found there. Because the Lord Yahweh, God Almighty, was present on earth as a man. Present as a man that she could see and touch and come to and cry upon his feet. For in the man Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he is approachable. In Christ, and only in Christ, is there any access to the Holy Trinity. He is one of us, joined to our flesh forever. And his glory does not destroy us, as we might think that it would, as sinners approaching a God so holy as this. Now in Revelation, right, the Apocalypse of St. John, these very feet are described as red hot. They are described as burnished bronze, right? Treading through the earth, right? As if burning in a fiery furnace, the scripture says, right? They are terrible to trample down the enemy and to crush him. And his eyes are a flaming fire in Revelation. And St. John says that when he sees this, when he sees Christ like this, he falls down as if dead before his feet in terror and in utter fear. But he has given us safe access to himself and to his Father by the Holy Spirit in the body born of the Blessed Virgin. Even as Mary finds herself once again sitting at those life-bearing feet. Before him, docile at his feet and ready to hear him. Right? Don't let that go by you. She is ready to hear him, to obey him, because she loves him. When she is sitting there before him, she sits there not as a guilty sinner condemned to hell, as Simon the Pharisee so cruelly declared. She sits there as a penitent. She sought forgiveness, and by God, she received it. She is the beloved, chaste, immaculate bride of Jesus Christ. And that is why she so longed to sit at the feet of God. That is why she sat there while her sister worked, hanging on every single word he spoke to her. Not for sorrow. Not for sorrow.
but for joy. For the joy that she found there. Joy that her God's heart was right there in front of her, beating just for her. That's what she cries for. St. Mary was a real sinner, but she had a real Savior. And praise be to God, Christ only saves real sinners, not fake sinners, not sinners who pretend that they never sin. He saves real sinners and loves real sinners and brings them right to where he brought St. Mary, right before him, at his beautiful feet. Beloved of Christ, our lot is ever with Mary, ever with her. The Christian life is one of constant, constant penitence and rejoicing even to tears that God has forgiven us by his spilt blood. And because we too are real sinners, conflicted and afraid, liars and cheaters, with secret sins and secret shames that no one knows about on earth, our lives too must be lives of repentance and humility lived at the feet of Christ. Don't ever fear that your sin is too dark or too shameful or too embarrassing, that you can't bring them with St. Mary to the feet of your Savior. Don't ever think like that. He has taken on our own flesh so that you can approach him and do exactly that. He longs for your sins because he knows that if they stay on you, if your sins remain on you, you can't handle them. They will kill you. They will drag you down to the abyss, just like a millstone. But if in repentance you heap them upon Jesus, guess what? He lives and they die. They don't survive what Christ does to them. Right? Make confession, not excuses. Right? That's the old adage. Make confession, not excuses. Don't make excuses for your sins. Just confess them to Christ. Give them to Christ. It's what he came, it's what he died for, it's what he's risen again for. Just do it. Weep not for sorrow that Jesus dies, but weep for the sins that you've committed. Right? Be in sorrow over the risks that you've taken, for the pain that you have caused by unleashing your sins out into the world. But at the same time, even in the midst of all of that, shed tears of joy. Because you who have sinned much have been forgiven more. The death of Christ means that you have a place at Jesus' feet, free of your sins, just like St. Mary. His death upon the cross is the most wonderful, the most powerful event in the history of the universe. Angels long to look into it, not as this weird sort of oddity or this freak accident, as this kind of plan B that God had to go to because we fell into sin, but because his death on the cross, that is the seal of his love for you. That is proof positive that God loves you and lives for you. And it is stamped in the annals of human history forever. It is the way that he loves and rescues the world. The way that he loves and rescues me and loves and rescues you. And so rejoice and be glad in it. He has conquered death
and made it to where the gates of hell shall never prevail against you. Never prevail against his holy church, because he has trampled down those weak gates with those same feet and welcomed us into his presence. By the grace of God in Christ, you're forgiven. You are holy. You are baptized into Jesus. And no one, no thing, not the devil, not your sins, not even death, can ever snatch you away. You belong to him, and you will follow him out of this valley of sorrows, out of this den of iniquity, this fallen Eden, out from your own selfish desires. And he'll bring you to himself forever. Because he loves you. To the same feet, now pierced by that love, into eternity. And if that brings you to tears, as it did to St. Mary, guess what? So be it. So be it. Don't be ashamed, because many a bride has wept for joy to see a bridegroom who has been so faithful and so gentle, so loving and gracious, to see how much he loves her and what he's willing to go through, even hell itself, for her. Because like St. Mary, we've been forgiven much, haven't we? And for us, there's still much more to come. Our cup truly runneth over before the Lord. Behold St. Mary, beloved of the Lord, and be like her. Be like her. Not anxious, not troubled by many things, but penitence in love with God and obedient to him. Eager to find yourself always at his feet, no matter where those feet are. And listen to the one thing that is needful. His beautiful life-giving word. In the name of Jesus, amen.